Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Yeah, so there's the title of the lesson today. And Pastor Doug, who has his own program and has celebrity status already, so I really, you know, he's enhancing my program today by coming and being a part of it. So thank you very much. Can the camera see you now? Y'all see Pastor Doug? All right. There. So there he is. So we're going to just kind of chime in back and forth because this is a subject that he and I have already thought about and we've talked about it some. So it just gets better and better when you think about that question, what will Jesus do for you? And it's important that we answer it correctly. And there's a whole lot in the PowerPoint and we might just have to say at 11:30, just cut it off because it could go on for a long time. So here's the question. What will Jesus do for you? So let me set it up by simply saying, Pastor, that let's first establish, is Jesus finished or is he still working? Well, the Bible said when he had finished all that he had to do, he sat down. So here's the question, Pastor. Is Jesus sitting or is he standing?
And I think the answer is yes. Because we see him walking amongst the candlesticks mm-hmm. in his priestly ministry mm-hmm. and dealing with the churches. But we see him seated at the right hand of the Father, expecting until the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ.
Right. Yeah. But he is resting.
But there are certain things that he is resting from because he has already accomplished them.
There you go.
So he doesn't need to go and reaccomplish them.
Mm-hmm. So that will affect our prayer life if we figure out from the Word of God and Jesus' ministry that's done and his present day ministry through the Holy Spirit. So a lot of the work that he's getting done today is through his Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit's carrying out his desires, his accomplished work in our lives. So mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit is there to remind us what Jesus has already done for us.
Yes. He's described as an agent, where he's working in agency. So he's taking that which has already been done and accomplished and actualizing it and making it effective and real in our life. Contemporizing it would be a fancy term for it.
Yeah, that's right.
Or actualizing it.
Okay, so let's look here at some of the things. You might run it to that first slide. There you go. So this is just a partial list. I mean, I couldn't hardly get it all in one slide. But here are some things that Jesus has done. And we experience this presently in our life. It's not in the future. He's already accomplished all this. Wow, there would be a good prayer. Lord, I see that you love me. So it's love, save, heal, fill, give grace. I didn't put it on Do Not Disturb.
You didn't put it on Do Not Disturb.
He gets on to me that all the time. Where were we? Give grace, protect, give peace, forgive, restore, the new birth, Holy Spirit. Go ahead, you do the rest of them.
Faith, anoint, extend covenant, adopt, gifts, fruit, life, purpose, truth, be your shepherd. I wonder where you got that one.
I got that from last Sunday's
sermon.
Yeah.
And this week's devotionals, and then raise the dead.
Oh. So let me ask you a question. Is there something else you need? That's a pretty good list right there. So, Lord, I understand that is something you have already accomplished for. I don't see anything there that's in the future except raise the dead.
Right.
Right. So I don't have my glorified body yet, but I've got just about every one of those other things already been given. Wow.
You know, Steve, when we're dealing with this idea of what God has already accomplished, Jesus is described as lamb slain. before the foundation of the world. And so we have God, who is outside of time and is a creator of time, has actually accomplished all this for us before he even made the heavens and the earth. Mm-hmm. So Scripture actually positions this stuff as already thought of, planned for, appropriated, and done before he even created yes. the heavens and the earth. Before the foundation of the world was laid, he is the Lamb that's slain from before the foundation of the world. So all of this stuff has been thought of and provided for before there was even yes. time.
Yeah. What I call that is a full salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Right there, that list, if you can see it, that is a full salvation. A lot of people are just thinking, well, I'm saved. What does that mean? I'm going to heaven when I die. Whoa, there's a whole lot more to salvation than a ticket to eternity. It's all of these things going on in our life, already stored up for us. When Jesus breathed his last on the cross, he said, it is finished. So here's an interpretation of that extended, what that meant was. Jesus was saying, everything that I came to do, I did it. It's all done, everything we need for salvation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty exciting. So in my personal life, I kind of use these kinds of scriptures and prayers and so on as a declaration, prayer declaration. Lord, I understand you have already accomplished this for me. It exists for me right now. It's got my name on it up there, blessings in heaven. And so, Lord, I receive that into my life. All of these good things. I know my forgiveness is not in the future. My forgiveness is in the past. That happened in Jesus' ministry and on the cross. So I am restored. I do have the new birth. I already have the Holy Spirit. I am anointed. I'm a part of Jesus' covenant with the Father, adopted, grafted in to the life of God. So I mean, the family of God. It's just cool. It just gets better and better.
Well, I think what you're touching on there, Steve, and something that really transformed my prayer life over the last couple years is to take seriously what the psalmist declared. We enter into his presence with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And to where what we typically do, and I would argue that this is the pagan way of prayer. Any pagan on the planet Earth has a god, a goddess, or something that they believe is higher than them, fortune, fortunata, whatever it is, and they pray hoping to have something affect their life, to accomplish a difference in their life. What sets apart Christian prayer from all prayer upon the earth is that a believer comes into his presence with thanksgiving. The front end of their prayer is heavily loaded with a confession and understanding of thanksgiving, gratitude, recognizing what God has already accomplished for them. And so they're coming into his presence not to appropriate or get something that God is holding back. He's stingy and he's holding it back. But realizing with thanksgiving and with praise what he has already appropriated as a loving Heavenly Father. And now they come and simply start to connect with it by saying, wow, thank you. Look at this great resource that you have already made available. You thought of everything, Father. And we come with gratitude. And with the spirit of gratitude, we come into his presence, and then we then see it actualized yeah. into our life.
Right. And we come to the Father as children. And if you'll just apply that in your own lives and your own family, can you imagine a little child coming to his mom and dad about lunchtime and saying, Mom, Dad, could I please have some lunch? I see you're cooking something real good over there. Would it be okay if I joined in? You know, or I don't even have to eat. I can just eat some of my cheese and crackers over here in the other. No, of course not. Why? He doesn't do that because he's a part of the family.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's liable to come in and say, "What's cooking? I'm hungry," because he's a child of God.
And actually, the other side of that coin is more of the problem, in that the child becomes ungrateful because they expect all the good things.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than maintaining a sense of gratitude, "Thank you, Mom, for putting in the extra effort to cook my special dish."
Yeah.
"Thank you, Dad, for always providing for us." You know, it, we actually would sit there if our children, as human beings, if our children carefully thanked us with gratitude at each meal, we would go, "What's wrong with you? What's wrong with this kid? He's got fever." What? But what the Lord is looking for is for gratitude, which moves us out of this, the side part of the family, into the middle part of the family, where that puts us in the warmth of his heart and puts us in the middle of his intention.
Right. So, yeah, and it's not selfish to accept what God has already done for you. It's just like
you
with your children.
Yeah.
You want your children to have what you've already provided for them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to beg for it. They're your children.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a kind of expectation, just like you have of your children, to ask and not whine and beg or complain, but just say, "Oh, thank you for what you've provided. This is wonderful." Let's look at a scripture now. And these scriptures are sort of illustrative of that list right there. This one says, "The Lord is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but all should reach repentance." There you go. So what this is saying is God doesn't want anyone to perish.
That's his heart and that's his desire.
There you go. So what do we do about that?
Well, he's laying that out. There has to be a response to it.
Okay. So you could at least agree with that scripture and say, "Lord, I know you don't want me to perish. And you don't even want any of my loved ones or acquaintances to perish either. But you want everybody to reach repentance." How's that? So we can connect to the life of God. We can connect to salvation. We can connect to the blessings. We can connect to God's covenant. So that's how you reach repentance. You start connecting. You turn around from doing things your way to say, "You know what? I'm going to start doing things God's way. I'm going to adopt his mentality, the mind of Christ, the things that Jesus would like for me to have and to appropriate in my life."
Mm-hmm. And it's the kindness of God that leads a man to repentance. And we can get into some theological weeds. We won't go very deep. But people wrestle with, what is the will of God?
Yes.
And then it follows up with, if it's the will of God that all be saved, then therefore all would be saved. Now, Peter is telling us that he is wishing, desiring, willing, wanting it to be so that all come to repentance. So what has he done? He has provided a gift through Jesus Christ who is available to all freely.
Mm-hmm.
And he has given his life for all. Now, we get into the theological weeds of limited atonement and unlimited atonement right here.
Yeah.
And this is where you get into the L of TULIP, which is the five parts of Calvinism. But
yeah,
we're not going to go any deeper than
good.
That. I'm just going to mention that.
All right.
And because people often think, if God wills a thing or desires a thing, how can it be that that thing is not so? And the fact is that because God has created us free moral agents, he expressed his desire that none perish, and then he provided a sacrifice that was capable and able and potential to cover all sin for all time for all people.
Wow.
Unlimited atonement for all. So it is the kindness and the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. And so he has done his side of the equation. He's made the offer freely for all by offering up his own son for us all and for all sin for all time. And now the question remains, how are we going to respond to that?
Well, what about my feelings of unworthiness, or I don't deserve it, or I'm too bad, or I think God has given up on me? Are any of those things true?
The scripture actually says that he has concluded all men in disobedience as unworthy. So he's already ruled, and he has said all humans from Adam on down are unworthy and incapable of pleasing me and coming into my presence. So I'll conclude them all in disobedience, and then here's what I'll do. I'll pour out my loving kindness on them, my mercy, my chesed, as the Hebrew is, that my tender loving kindness and my loyal love on them, and I'll make a provision for them because my mercy triumphs over judgment. And so Jesus comes and tells us he's already condemned the world. He's already found it guilty.
You're born condemned.
You're born condemned. But what I've come, as I've come, you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so he came as the offer of salvation to the undeserving. And he simply has concluded that all human beings are undeserving of this salvation. And by doing so, he has mercy upon all humanity.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. I'm starting to get excited. Let's look at the next. Let's look at the next verse.
But it's available through only through repentance.
Yeah.
We have to turn.
Right. You've got to come to him.
Yeah.
Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give you. Peace is a pretty good thing. Is that available to us, or does that happen? Do we get peace when we get to heaven?
It's available for us now.
So
it's already provided. It's already poured out.
It's already provided. It's there.
Jesus said it in the present to them, past tense for us.
Right.
It's given.
Yeah. But I've got so much stress in my life. How do I move from that stress to that peace, which I understand it is there, but I have trouble walking in it on a day-to-day basis. Is it possible to actually have that peace every day?
Yes. But we have to get turned upside down in our life, or actually right side up. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Take the first three. I believe that those are stirred up and released within the spirit of a human being. But Paul teaches that people tend to be carnally motivated, which means they live in their soul, their mind, their will, and their emotions. And when you get stirred up in your thinking, in your attitude of your mind, and in other people's way that they socialize with you, you're living a soulful life or a carnal lifestyle. And now you are not being led by the Spirit, you're being led by the soul. And when you're led by the soul, you're always trying to negotiate peace and broker peace in your soul, and that can only come through your mind, your will, and your emotions. And then people involve themselves in different relationships, in different social structures, and different diversions, entertainments, or they involve themselves in drugs, alcohol, and other diversions in an attempt to bring a peace into their soul. And they live as drama kings and drama queens. But if we are led by the Spirit and we live a life that's first in the Spirit, now we're walking in the love of God, the peace of God, and the joy of the Holy Spirit. And that is a perpetual, continual condition, no matter our conditions.
Right. So since peace belongs to me, a good prayer might be is to say, Lord, I understand that peace is mine. It belongs to me. Jesus has already given it to me. So I am determined today to receive that peace and then stay there all day long.
Mm-hmm.
When I get in traffic, I don't lose my peace and get into frustration. I'm going to stay in peace. So you're part of the equation. God wants to give it. It's there for you, but you commit yourself to stay in that peace all day long.
And what we can ask for is help. Their request is, Holy Spirit, help me to not live upside down like the rest of the world. Help me and challenge me and show me where I'm slipping over here and living out of my soul first rather than living out of my spirit first.
Yes.
I want to be spirit first, then soul, then body. That's the way I'm supposed to be working. But when my soul gets out there ahead of my spirit, then that upsets my peace, my love, and my joy.
Yeah.
It cuts me off from the main supply, and I start running on empty.
Yeah.
So help me, Holy Spirit, to realize this and do my side of what I need to do to live spirit first.
So I need to ask myself, today it's up to me as to who's on the throne of my heart. Are my emotions on the throne?
Is it me?
Is it me? Is it my circumstances? What's on the throne? If Jesus is on the throne, if peace is on the throne and joy on the throne and love on the throne, then that's going to change my day. But not just because I just threw up a prayer and say, Lord, don't let nothing bad happen today. Well, that, if nothing ever bad happens, well, then I can stay in peace very easily. But in the midst of adverse circumstances, I can still have peace, just like Jesus walked in peace, and he had plenty of adverse circumstances.
Every day he had everybody hating his guts.
Yeah.
He did.
Yes.
I'm not exaggerating. He was upsetting people on a daily basis. They wanted to kill him.
All right, let's go to the next scripture. On that note.
On that happy note.
Yeah. Okay, keep on going. Okay, here it is. I like this one. Acts 10:38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Well, I wonder sometime, does God want to heal me? Well, doesn't that scripture answer that question?
Absolutely.
If he healed all, that would include me. Well, I feel unworthy. I don't feel like my faith is very high, whatever it might be. Nevertheless, start off with Jesus healing all. Okay, so if all is who he's healing, then I'm included in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to put it this way, it already exists for me. Healing is in the atonement.
It's already been purchased.
Yes.
And I like to think of it in this way, all of God's grace, and you can lump this into God's grace, salvation, healing, deliverance, everything, but specifically in healing. So think of it as the boat has arrived at the dock, all of the huge containers have been unloaded, yeah, and it's all sitting in the warehouse. Every kind of healing and every type of healing has already been appropriated and delivered. Now, all that remains is to go into the warehouse and simply appropriate that which has been set aside for you. Like presenting a ticket, say, here's my name, and there is something here for me, and I want to have everything that has been delivered for me.
Yeah. Well, I don't want God to go out of his way. You know, my prayers are kind of like, God, if you're not too busy, I know you got lots of prayers to answer and you might be too busy for me. So yeah. I hate to ask for anything personal.
Lord, help us if we have that idea of a harried, busy God who's sitting on his throne, pulling his hair out, or he's bald because he's pulled it all out.
Yeah.
And he's going,
stressed.
Oy vey, I'm being overwhelmed with all these earthly requests. Billions of people calling my name,
yeah,
and I'm frozen here with fear, trepidation, and overwhelmed anxiety because I just can't handle it. No, his answer is, I've already provided it.
Yeah, I've got millions of angels, but billions of people. Oh, what am I going to do? All right, let's go to the next one here. We're gonna have to kind of wrap it up here in a few minutes, but there's so many good scriptures.
Yes.
John 14:16, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. So I wonder when he's going to send that helper.
Poured out on the day of Pentecost.
It's already happened.
Already happened. It's a historical
there
fact.
There you go.
Acts chapter 2, read it.
Yeah. So Lord, I thank you that I have a helper and that helper is the Holy Spirit and he doesn't come and go. I'm the one that walks out.
Right.
He stays, and especially when we have a prayer that says, Lord, today I'm going to walk in your spirit all day long. And just see what a difference it makes. You might say, oh, that might be hard. I can't be religious all day long.
I can't either.
I can't either.
That's exhausting.
No.
That's tormenting, being religious all day long. Because that implies doing something you're not inclined to do for a reason you're not quite sure of, and doing it for an interminable length of time.
When Jesus said,
that's exhaustion.
Yeah, when Jesus said, I will give you rest, he was talking to religious people.
Yes, he was.
That were not resting. They were too busy. So anyway, so that's a good prayer right there. So Lord, thank you that I have a helper and he will be with me forever.
And that helper is the parakletos in the Greek. You and I know that because we went to Bright Divinity School and studied Greek. But he comes alongside and his purpose is to come alongside and help. And so we don't have to, we're grateful for that and let him know, be thankful to the Holy Spirit. But we don't have to apologize that we need help or get mad because we need help.
Yeah.
He's been given to us precisely because we are helpless.
Yeah, that's a good
and one. Incapable.
Yeah.
And he has come with all the provisions of God and he's an expert in revealing them to us and putting them into our life.
And Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, he will take the things of mine and reveal them unto you. And so here's what I take that to mean, or part of what that means, is he'll take my word and everything that I've accomplished, and he will remind you of that. So the Holy Spirit is there reminding you of what belongs to you in Christ. And then when you find out about it, then you go, wow, all of that's mine? Holy Spirit, yes. And I'm trying to encourage you to make that a part of your prayer life of thankfulness and extraction or access to everything that Jesus died for you to have.
Absolutely.
All right, let's go to another one, and then we've got a closing prayer here in a minute.
Okay.
I always feel like I'm kind of hurrying along here, but we don't really have a time limit. But I was already thinking of 11:30, and here it is 11:37. So are you still tuned in? Okay, good, because it's good. So John 14 says, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. Wow.
The great handoff.
Yeah.
Now, the temptation is to say, oh, he's only talking about 12 disciples there. But there were 120 that were empowered in the upper room, and then 3,000 that were born again. And then it spread to Samaria and then to the uttermost parts of the earth, even to the Gentiles, in very short order. And each one of them came away with a great commission that is described in John 14. Even greater works shall you do because I go to my Father.
Right. Yeah. Which means he's going to go to his Father. He's going to send the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And he's going to send the anointing along with the Holy Spirit. And the anointing was the key to Jesus' success. He said so himself. He has anointed me. So
God hath anointed with the Holy Spirit.
So
he went about
Jesus was
good.
Anointed. We kind of think of ourselves, well, he had the big anointing and we've got this very small anointing. We can't do very much, but we can do a little. But Jesus didn't say you can do a little. He said, the works that I shall do, you'll do. The works that I'm doing, you shall do.
Right. Because I go to my Father. And he's an advocate for us with the Father, but he also got by going to the Father. He said, I must go so that the Holy Spirit can come and he'll be with you. He'll be in you and he'll take these things and he'll show them to you. And then we have this idea of Jesus has no problem whatsoever with us doing everything that he did and even greater in number, quality, whatever, that we would actually involve ourselves in his ministry and take it seriously. Because the very same identical Holy Spirit who filled him completely full without measure is the very same Holy Spirit who has been commissioned to us to fill us as full as we'll let him.
Wow. Well, that's a good one. All right, let's skip on down here. Let me see that next scripture. We might just skip a few and go to our closing prayer. Let's see, what is next?
Brother PowerPoint, there we go.
There you go. Now, we got to comment on this one.
Okay.
Exceeding abundantly, more than all we ask or think, according to the power that's working in us.
Right.
And you were just commenting on the Holy Spirit is working in us.
According to the power that we allow to work within us. How do we give place to that and allow and set up ourselves to release that? Because not us, it's him working through us.
And how much will he do? Exceeding abundantly, more than you. So it's not like, well, I'm just asking for a little, you know, I don't expect God's busy. And I'm not that important. No. We never get that idea. That's a religious idea.
It's a religious idea.
So more than we ask or think. So just go ahead and make that a part of your prayer life. There's a good prayer declaration. Lord, I understand that you want to do more than all I ask or think, but it's according to that power that's working on the inside of me. So the Holy Spirit is working outside, but he's working inside.
Yes. And he's not holding back. And he's not saying, Steve, Doug, you want 50% more of me, but I'm only willing to give 10% more of me. No. He's willing to go to the infinite level. Yeah.
Well, but see, I'm just a church member. I mean, you pastors, you're on this other level, and I know God wants to do amazing things in your life. But what about me, Joe, average church member?
Well, we have a greater responsibility before the Lord with the body of Christ and serving the body of Christ as persons. But we have no greater potential for the power and work of the Holy Spirit in our life than any other member of the body of Christ, men or woman, boy or girl, educated or not, rich or not, wherever they're located upon the globe. Every person comes on their own approach and their own availability to the Lord, and it's about not about ability or even commission or place within the body. It is about availability of the individual to Christ.
That's right. Your name is whosoever.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Yeah. Okay, we're going to skip over to the very last. Go ahead. That's all real good.
Yeah. Keep going.
All the way to the last, and it says prayer. But before we pray this prayer, I want to say thank you, Pastor Doug, for being on the program too with me.
And thank you for letting me after I begged you week after week after week, and you said
Can I
no.
Please say something. No, not yet. It's kind of like the guy in the symphony with the little triangle, and he's just waiting for his turn, you know. Now.
Well, what we've actually been doing, just a little bit of behind the scenes, is I come on Wednesday and Kenny Gibson runs part of the technology and I run part of the technology. So the Mr. Producer that he's addressing is actually Pastor Doug, and I'm happy to serve that way because I love Pastor Steve and I love the ministry of the seniors of Vision Church, and we want to have a visual and virtual seniors ministry for those that are part of our church as well as those that visit from the outside and look at YouTube and Facebook. We want to do that, and so I'm happy to serve that way. So I'm grateful today to have my son back in town and Matt Lemon back in Kenny Gibson's chair, and we're training some other people to do some things and being trained by Cameron how to do better in the area of video ministry.
Yes,
and so that freed me up. So I want to thank them because that actually freed me up to be able to come and get some face time with you instead of being, which I'm happy to do, be behind the scenes and to make sure that we put the best product forward for the glory of Jesus Christ and to help Pastor Steve. So glad we could finally put that together.
So it's mutual. All right. Yeah. So let's use this as our closing prayer. If you would like to pray it with us. Okay. Here we go. God, I know Jesus wants to do far more than I have been willing to let him. Today, I open the door and make him my Lord and King. He has called me to live like him, filled with the Spirit and doing the will of the Father. What you have called me to be and to do, I am and I will. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, hey, thanks for joining us today. We'll be back here again next week. Some people have asked me, when are the seniors, when is the Wise and the Wonderful going to start meeting in person again? I'm not sure about that, but we're just moving along and doing the best we can, and we'll be online until we can get together. So pray for us, and we'll be praying for you as well. God bless you, and thanks for watching today.